Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
It's your two dads.
We're the two dads who sing a song.
And your two dads, we sing it wrong.
Every single time we fuck it up.
But at least it's really long.
Yes, and it keeps going when you think it's done.
That's because we love our song. I keep rhyming song.
No matter
what you do.
I know. It's okay. The song's over.
What? No!
The song's over. You killed it. You killed it.
It's your two dads with Julian McCullough. That's me.
And it's over there is Sean O'Connor.
It's a daddy pig, Sean O'Connor.
Oh, please.
No, you don't want that to catch on?
I don't want that to catch on. But I think it will now.
We're going to
Daddy Pig Nation.
How are you feeling health-wise these days? I'm trying to get back like to exercise. It's very hard. My body hurts all the time. Mm-hmm. I am 40. You are not. You are 34?
34. I do.
Does your body hurt?
No. In fact, it's weird that it
should.
Doesn't hurt. It should. I'm not even kidding. I eat only buffalo wings and smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
And I'm drinking like fucking Gatorade.
I'm not saying right this now. Like those people that are like, just wait till they're teenagers, like those assholes that say stuff like that. I'm not saying that out of spite or out of like glee or Schnaudenfreude or whatever the fuck. But I'm serious. It was probably 36 or 37 that stuff started to hurt for me. That was like, why does this hurt?
Oh, I know things are going to hurt. Yeah. Like, especially, like, it's coming.
Like, 34, I was like, it's all bullshit.
Yeah, but, like, I'm also at a place right now where I'm like, man, things should hurt more. And I just feel like one day I'm going to sit down, take a shit, and my heart's going to fall out.
Yeah, of your butt.
Out of my butt. Yeah, of course. Where else would it fall out of?
Yeah, but what they don't tell you is that you just shove it back up there, and you keep going, because that's what fucking dads do.
Yeah, exactly.
You shove your heart in your butt.
Yeah, you pick your heart out of the toilet and shove it straight up your ass, back where your heart belongs.
If you're new to this podcast, we get Italian whenever we tell the truth.
Yes, that is 100% true. Julian,
yes,
how are you dadding?
Well, this weekend, you talked about this recently, or a few episodes ago. So Meg and Lulu went to Texas. It's not my weekend with Goldie. So I had the house by myself.
What was that?
That was Risky Business, I think you were trying to do.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's not. It's like you think it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's never
or whatever.
Fun. No, it's
and then
sad.
You're just like, first of all, this house is way too big. I do not need a house this big.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, that's right. They'll come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really sad to be alone.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
What's the best thing you've done, though, since they've been gone? What's the thing you're proudest of?
Proudest of, probably.
Or least proud of.
I have a list of things I'm still going to do, I swear. No, probably I scrubbed some of Meg's shoes.
Oh my God. Because you cummed all over them?
No. She bought us these amazing Reeboks that are an awesome color, and they were like limited or whatever. And I love them. I wear them all the time. I had mine cleaned, and they like looked like brand new shoes. And I, as a way of thanking her for getting us the shoes in the first place, I was like, I'll wash hers because, you know, I'm not gonna. And so I did. And it's doing something like that on your own is pretty good feeling when you can like make something look better.
But what's something you've done that you don't want her to know about?
That I'm also proud of?
Yeah.
No, I think I wrote longer than I ever have before in the house.
You wrote?
Like writing, like a script.
Oh, wow. So that's good.
Yeah.
So you need them to just be away for you to be productive?
Yeah, I realized I need to be better at boundaries and like being like, I have to go work. I can't do it here.
It's so tough.
It's hard because you feel like I feel bad and like they're going to hate me. But in fact, they don't like us that much.
Yeah, I know. It really, I mean, like, truly, I feel like I'm avoiding them when I'm working, but I'm not. Like, their life is so much better when I'm in the other room typing away.
Right.
I'm just there ruining their fun.
Yeah, but I'm not even. It's really hard for me to just even be in the next room. It's hard. But
do you go to a coffee shop?
Yeah, I'll do that.
I can't do that.
I work better with like stuff going on around me.
See, what I do when especially like if I'm writing like a script, I will write a scene.
Uh-huh.
Then I either like walk around the corner and smoke a cigarette, and then I go back and write a scene.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I have to do. It's yeah. like this weird ritual.
Yeah, I heard someone in high school, Kelsey Budd. He was like the prodigy in our school. He was like he had long hair, but he was like brilliant. He was that kid that doesn't exist except in movies, but we had one. And he used to say that he would finish papers by promising himself a cigarette after every page.
What happened to him?
I haven't. He's one of the only people I haven't looked up. I bet he's not on the grid, but I'll check. I'll check.
What? How do you spell his name?
Budd, I think. Kelsey Budd. K-E-L.
S-E-Y?
S-E-Y, Bud, I think, yeah. And he was from Morristown, New Jersey.
And then rest in peace.
No!
I'm just kidding.
He died of lung cancer.
Too many papers.
He wrote a 700-page novel and died of lung cancer.
Who do we got on the show this week?
We have an amazing show this week. He's, you know, you've seen him a lot. This is a guest you could see on TV all the time. He had another period on Comedy Central with his wife, Natasha Leggero. You might know him from his book that you read.
Yes, Casher in the Rye.
Casher in the Rye.
The true tale of a white boy from Oakland who became a drug addict, criminal, mental patient, and then turned 16.
Ah, that's the sub thing or whatever? Yeah. That's cool. He's done all the things. Moshe and I are similar. He's done more like starred in TV shows, but we're like, you know, same age, same like done the late night shows, the specials, whatever. Yeah. So he's like a great comic.
And he has a 3-part stand up special on Netflix entitled The Honeymoon Stand Up Special.
Which, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
So we'll probably have something like that.
Me and you?
Yeah, we're like a married couple.
We should pitch that. We'll talk mostly about our sex life.
Yeah.
It's mostly turning our backs and masturbating.
Yeah, I think that's what the show would be.
Without further ado, this guy, we got to warn you. This is a great conversation, but it gets a little serious, but it's great. It's Stick great. With it.
Yeah, I don't know why you're doing a warning, but it's great. It's great.
We don't need to do a warning. Coach, cut the warning.
Yeah, we don't need to do a warning. But also, hey, like and subscribe.
And subscribe.
And rate and review.
And rate and review 5 stars.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, everyone. It's me, Sean, from the Your Two Dads podcast, and I want to talk to you about hemp fusion. There's a lot of confusion about CBD nowadays, but not all CBD is created equally. Adding hemp fusion CBD to your daily routine adds up to a lot of tubular benefits. Our bodies already make cannabinoids and plant.
Okay. Hold on. Sean, I love this ad read. You're doing great. I'm already sold on hemp fusion. What I love is this accent went from Southern to California to, was that Australian?
I don't know.
Australian?
I'm not good at voices. It's but you
a
know
fusion,
what
it was a fusion, that's for sure.
It was a fusion, and it was brought to you by hemp.
Tell me more about hemp fusion.
Unlike other CBD brands who offer just CBD, hemp fusion is CBD plus omegas plus terpenes to help you feel 100%. Do you know what terpenes are, Julian?
Yeah, it thins paint, right?
Yeah. Well, this is now it helps you fuse hemp, man. They do this because CBD works best for your body when combined with these other nutrients. They then add in other natural ingredients, which I like. I like when ingredients are natural.
Yeah.
To create products that help specifically with stress, sleep, and energy. I have problems with all those.
They basically did a brilliant thing. They made a great product where they are like, why don't we give you these natural vitamins that are going to help your body? And we'll just throw high-grade CBD in there to chill you out and make you feel better at the same time. It's a great product.
I'll be honest with you. This is not for the ad, but I smoked some CBD at a wedding last weekend. It was fucking nice.
Nice.
Anyway, chill me the fuck out. Everything they do adds up to a better product, and that adds up to a better day for you.
How do we get it?
Check this shit out. The fine folks at Hemp Fusion have been nice enough to help Your Two Dads listeners out.
Ooh.
Please use promo code DADS for 20% off your first order and free shipping at hempfusion.com. That's promo code DADS. Get Hemp Fusion shipped anywhere in the U.S.
Do it.
So Moshe, welcome to Your Two Dads podcast.
Thank you for having me.
We already did your intro. It was.
Oh, really?
It was pretty good.
It was flowery.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. What'd you say? Do you remember any nuggets? I mean,
well, we are going to do it.
Oh, you're lying.
We haven't actually done it yet.
Oh, it will be flowery.
Yeah.
This show is like Lost.
Oh,
it's all over the place.
It makes no sense.
Yeah. It makes no sense.
In the end, you think that wasn't actually as good as I thought it was?
We should have ended it after the first 20.
But we're dead the whole time, which is kind of beautiful.
So you have a child.
I do have a child.
Are you going to raise her, Jewish?
Oh, I thought you were going to stop at raise her.
Are you planning on raising her?
Yeah. Will you take time from counting your pile of gold coins?
That is how we raise Jewish children. We teach them to count.
It's a lot of counting.
Counting, and then eventually we teach them to eat it. We teach them to be sustained upon it.
Sure.
And, yeah. Am I going to raise her Jewish? Is that a real question?
Sure.
Yeah. I am.
Is your wife going to agree to that?
That's a good
question. It's like different parts of the house.
You know, it's funny. The older I get, the more people always assume, by the way, that I don't, not you guys, but I have, you know, Elon Gold?
Yes.
Yeah.
He came up to me once and he goes, "Hey, you're Moshe. I don't know what he was talking about, maybe a corporate gig or something. He's like, "Too bad you can't do it because you hate Judaism and are an atheist." And I was like, where did you get that from?
It's your glasses.
Well, and he goes, "Oh, you just make fun of it all the time in your stand-up." I'm like, well, that doesn't mean I hate it. I mean, right. I was a big apologist for religion for most of my life. I have a degree in religious studies. And the older I get, I know this isn't an original idea, but the more I sort of feel like, much like the internet, like, was any of this worth it? I used to really think it was worth it, religion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought it was worth it. There was a great evil done in its name, but also great good came in, mm-hmm. it balanced out. And the older I get, especially about my own religion, I kind of wonder. But that said.
Really? As you're getting older, you're seeing less of a worth in religion?
Yeah.
That isn't an original idea.
That's true. I guess you're right.
That's not how it usually goes.
But I agree with that only because as someone, I went to Catholic school my entire life. Mm-hmm. So it was like I was so inundated in religion and all of that. That, like, I still have so much Catholic guilt about, like, anything I do.
Yeah.
Like, and it's awful. But I still was like, at like 23, when everyone was like, "I'm a fucking atheist," I was still like, "I don't know. It could go either way. I don't know." But now I'm like, I don't even care to think about it.
I could never call myself, I don't think I could call myself an atheist.
No,
people assume that I am.
I mean, that's a different subject.
Yeah. Yeah. But I will probably raise her Jewish, even though, like I said, I have some misgivings about the kind of role in self-identity that religion brings to people. And I have some problems with Judaism's kind of self-selection about, like, you know, like when Natasha and I were going to get married, it was very important to me that she converted, and I wouldn't have asked her to do it.
Mm-hmm.
She volunteered to do it because probably she knew that it was important to
me. It's also very exciting to be to convert
out of Catholicism.
Like,
super
of course,
exciting.
Yeah. Like honestly, like if my wife was Jewish, I would have converted 100%. I want that.
Wait, it's fun. It's fun how they do it.
No, I just.
Well, she got circumcised, so no.
Wow.
No.
I just feel like that would be it would. I would make more sense if I was Jewish, I think.
Fun fact, speaking of conversion and circumcision, there is a reason that throughout history, the vast majority of Jewish converts have been women. And it is because you have to get circumcised if you join.
For
even
real?
As an adult.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And even if you've already been circumcised by a doctor, you still have to do a ritual circumcision.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad.
You got to do it again?
You got to, like, blood.
They take a little bit?
Blood, just a blood prick.
For real?
Yes.
We have not talked about this since the first episode, but...
Circumcision?
Yeah, but my son is uncut.
Yeah.
And,
don't call him uncut.
Is that his first comedy album?
I'm just getting him ready.
Why not say uncircumcised?
Uncut.
Uncut is like a porn category.
Live and uncut.
But we were talking about it, and Chris DeStefano's like college basketball teammate, he got circumcised as an adult.
What for?
Oh, yeah.
I think he was converting. He got...
Hardcore.
Circumcised as an adult.
We should call that guy
terrible.
And find out what his cums are like. Because everybody claims that you lose sensation, but that's the guy you could actually call and be like, how are those nuts? Are they equal? Are they lesser?
Yeah.
Do you like them less?
I don't know. I mean, I was such a maniac, and I think we all are when we're like younger with sex, that like I wouldn't want it to feel better. I would have made dumber decisions. I'm glad it wasn't that great.
I don't think I, by the way, I've researched this because I am kind of obsessed with Uncut Kids. And just kidding. I'm obsessed with the
why does your stuff keep getting circulated around the internet?
I'm obsessed with the arguments about circumcision, and it's actually not settled. By the way, the barbaric thing, that's a whole other conversation. I would have had a very difficult time deciding what to do if I'd had a boy. We had a girl, so we just went ahead and did it. But but the argument about it being less pleasurable, mm-hmm. Is not settled law. That might be just a rumor.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Might not be true.
Yeah, although there's literally no way to ever know.
No, call the guy.
Yeah.
Well,
call the guy.
Oh, a guy that went
call
had it
Chris
before.
Call Chris DeStefano's friend.
Maybe. What I'm stuck on is that you said this would be really important to you, but you would never ask her. So what would happen if she hadn't done it? You would have just been like felt weird forever?
I would have gotten over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would have gotten over it. I when I was young, I was much more involved and committed kind of Jewish person, but in a weird way, because I never was particularly religious. I never was like a big believer or like I didn't really. If you'd bumped into me 15 years ago, 20 years ago, I would have been very Jewish, definitely want to marry a Jewish woman, have a Jewish family, dedicate.
Get all the diversity showcases.
But if you had said, oh, do you believe that the Bible's true? I'd have been like, no. So it's like, I've always been able to wear my religion like a super loose garment, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that's good. But eventually I dated, just like you, I was like such a slut. I just had such bad luck. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you were a slut, but you kind of implied you were.
There's no such thing as sluts.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's the new line.
For men, though?
For everybody.
Oh, interesting.
There's no such thing as sluts.
I was promiscuous. Is that real?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So,
and you were a whore, though.
Yeah.
You were
like a dirty sex whore.
I was like a...
You were like a bad person.
Like, I would do anything for anybody. Yeah. Is that bad?
No. That's, also, that is not true.
I would do anything for any amount of money, I guess. Is that...
Is that
a sex whore?
Yeah.
So I had such bad luck with love. I just never could be in a serious relationship ever, mm-hmm. ever. Just never, literally never. Literally, Natasha's my first adult serious relationship, and I married her and have a child with
Before
her.
Before that, what was the longest monogamous relationship you had?
That question doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't even exist.
It's like I had long relationships with people that like lived in another state,
right.
who I had like emotional relationships with, or incredibly short, I'm talking weeks,
yeah.
long monogamous but never official relationships mm-hmm. with people that live nearby. So zero. I mean, yeah. I guess. Zero amount. A week, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And then I had such bad luck with it, and I started going to therapy and trying to, like, you know. What was interesting about the therapy, I was going to therapy trying to get myself ready to be in a relationship. I wanted that. I wanted to experience what love, but I was such an emotional midget when it came to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just had no idea even, like, being with Natasha, I, like, had this realization, like, a year in. I was like, oh, relationships are like a partnership. Like I never even knew that it was like that. I just thought like you experienced an emotion,
uh-huh.
and that's what a relationship was. It was you just had an emotion with that person.
Oh
forever.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you're like doing a thing, creating a world, creating a family, creating a house together. It's not that I didn't know that. I was intelligent enough to know academically know that, but I had no experience with it. So. And what I was going to say is, interestingly enough, as I went to therapy more and more to try to get ready for this relationship, my sex life didn't reflect any growth. I mean, it got worse.
Mm-hmm.
It was like more hardcore. Like it was like by the end, I was on OkCupid. That's when I bailed. I feel mm-hmm. like you can date yourself by your when did you bail? Like what interface did you bail on? You know.
Yeah.
So I pre-Tinder. And post OkCupid, mm-hmm. and I would have chicks, and I would be like texting with them, like booty call situations, mm-hmm. and I'd be playing video games. I remember this. This just felt so depressing. I would be playing a video game because when I was younger, I'd go out on dates, but then it got so transactional. I'd be playing a video game, texting them with one hand, like, "Oh, you should come over." They would come over. I would press pause on the video game,
mm-hmm.
turn the TV off. We would hook up.
Yeah,
they would leave. I would lock the door. I would sit down and I would press play and keep playing from the and that just felt like so. Like, yeah, is this romance? What part of my psyche is this? Is this just feels so pathetic? That
There's no worse feeling, by the way, than turning the TV back on and you didn't pause it.
Or you didn't,
And then
save.
You're like, God,
was it worth it?
Was it worth it?
So by the time Natasha came around and we started dating and I identified that she was somebody that I wanted to take seriously, I always knew that with her. Like, I resisted hooking up with her for a long time. She was like much more down to hook up than I was because I was just like, we're peers, we're friends. I don't want. Anyway, long story short, when she came along, I was like, okay, yes, I will sacrifice this identity widget, which is has decreasing value to me anyway, to be with this person. I will choose love over identity. Of course, I would do that.
Did it ever worry you that you wouldn't be able to?
At that point in my life, I was like, it was clear what the path was for me, which is that you would choose love. You would choose happiness over some abstract kind of meaningless idea of like, oh... I know people hear it and they get uncomfortable. They think it's about like purity or racial purity or some weird thing, but it really isn't. It's really about like passing on generational, cultural like thing that you know.
Right.
You know, and it was more important for me to create a culture in my family than it was for me to continue to be in the stream of the culture that I was raised in.
Mm-hmm. Have you thought about when your daughter starts dating like as a teenager, what... how you will talk to her about it?
About Judaism?
No.
Yeah.
No, about relationships and about sex and stuff.
It's a really difficult question. I have that.
Because your experience is not typical.
Totally. And I feel the same way about sex that I feel about drugs. I'm like on an intellectual.
Didn't you get sober like at a very young, like 20 or really something like that?
Younger, 15.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you should read Moshe's book. It made me cry on an airplane for like so 3 hours straight.
Wow.
Yeah, I never told him that, but
that's
it was
really
like,
nice.
Honestly, Mindy Kaling's book did that too.
I used to get that anytime I'd read a Lenny letter. That's so nice. But yeah, and so therein lies the dilemma. Like every thought that I have about my daughter, I think of it through the lens of who I was and the kind of kid that I was. And I was such a fucked up, messed up kid. And
it's almost not applicable.
Yeah, but I never wanted to go through any part of that. And I have mental illness and drug addiction in my family, which I'm sure you do too. And O'Connor, I don't know you that well, but O'Connor suggests that yes.
Yeah.
And I don't, I'm scared of it, but then I'm also like, this is probably irresponsible, but I also don't want my kid to be a square.
Yeah, you kind of want them to have... like contained experiences.
Yeah, I want. Yeah,
to not
you
be
gotta
out
let
of
him
control.
Fuck up.
Yeah,
you gotta let him fuck up.
But I like. Do I want my kid to be like squeaky clean? Like Al Madrigal was saying, you got to get your kids into sports because that'll keep them out of any trouble. And I'm like, that's good advice. Like that seems like adult good advice. But then I'm like, do I want her to be 20 and never have tried mushrooms? God, I really don't know. And when it comes to sex, it's like I'm much more concerned with making sure I don't inflict any. Like sexual, like starvation damage on her, then that I make sure she doesn't like isn't promiscuous. Like when I think about it, and I have no idea she's a baby, but when I think about it, I'm like, what I want to make sure is that this part of her life doesn't feel shameful, much more than I want to make sure she doesn't fuck up. And
yeah, that's why these dads out there that are like, you know, take pictures with a shotgun and their daughter for prom. It's like, dude, you're not. Getting the desired result.
You know what I have thought a lot about is because she's a girl, is the world of danger that sex is.
Yeah.
I don't care if she's promiscuous. That's not something I have ever thought about. Maybe I will as she gets older.
The only
about
bad
more.
Feelings you have around promiscuous sex is ones that were given to you, unless, you know, like in terms if you're judging yourself or whatever. It's only like if you're told to feel that way. You know?
So in that way, even the dad with a shotgun is a victim of sexual, you know, puritanism trauma.
Right.
You know, he's just doing his role, which is, stay away from my daughter. I know Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, he definitely learned that from his dad.
Absolutely.
Like, he had a little sister, and he was like,
nobody with like hippie
break someone's neck.
Nobody with hippie parents grows up and are like, you better not touch my kid.
Right.
Yeah, I also think it's just better for kids to experience things early, because anytime like someone smokes pot for the first time at 28, it consumes their entire life.
You're so right about that.
I know.
That is so true.
I know. Then, then they're like 30 and they love Sublime and you're like, Jesus,
I'm
dude.
Now you're doing this?
Yeah.
I mean, like, truly I had so much fun in high school so that I could have a life afterwards.
But the bad news is, and the scary part is like, I have many moments in my life where if things hadn't gone exactly perfectly, I'd be dead. And it's all because at the time in my life, I was and I think maybe girls are different, but I was literally incapable of not making an irresponsible decision.
Yeah.
You know, I just didn't have a brain development that would say, don't do this. You know, I remember there was a girl who, I don't remember why, but maybe we stole something from her house or something like that. She ran out of her house with a shotgun and was pointing it at us. And like, I ran towards her. I was like, "Guys, you fucking shoot! No, he's gonna pull a shotgun on me, motherfucker! North Oakland or something like that," and ran towards her. And
you just if you yell Oakland at anyone and run at them.
No, P.S. As an adult, I know I'm in real trouble when I get into an argument with somebody. Like, real trouble. Like, I've lost the beat of, like, my life if I mention that I'm from Oakland. That's how I know I've gone down a very dark road. If I'm like, Oakland, I'm like, oh, no, get me out of here.
It doesn't have the effect it used to, though.
No, certainly. You know? It never had an effect. It was always me on the other end of the scream. People would go, oh, no. And then they'd look like, oh, I think we're okay.
I just mean Oakland's not as scary as it used to
be. Oh, that's true as well.
It's like, oh, so you're come from a place where the rent's slightly cheaper.
Yeah. What kind of electropop band are you in? Yeah. Wait, but we were talking about, danger.
Oh, you were going to tell us. Oh, the shotgun.
That's what's scary to me.
What happened? So you ran at her.
I ran at her and she got scared and ran inside the house.
I think that's the right thing to do.
For her?
No, I think if you can tell if someone's held a gun before.
Yeah.
But she could have also gotten so freaked out that she pulled a trigger.
Yeah.
My point is, like, my brain didn't say, if somebody pulled a gun on me right now, I would fucking
piss my pants and run away,
obviously. But my brain, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to run away.
Yeah.
But my brain was like, it just wasn't developed enough to make rational cognitive decisions. And that's what's scary about doing things young and doing drugs young and getting involved in anything like that.
You just don't have the decision making.
You can't make a good decision. Mm-hmm. You just are praying to be lucky enough to live.
Yeah. No, like I knew six kids that were my age that were my friends that all got drunk at like 14, and I've been in the car with like three of them at this time, but at 14, they just like stole their parents' car and were just driving around town drunk, and we were like just having fun. Like, they were like, this is living, baby.
This is the dream.
Like, and like, that's so fucking stupid.
What's interesting is I know four 35-year-old stand-up comedians that do that every weekend, so... Go driving around drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe not in a stolen car. Maybe in their own.
Yeah, but there is that balance of like, you also don't want to assume you can control them from doing something like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? You just got to pray they don't. I remember my dad told me, like, when the subject of weed and alcohol came up, and he had smoked weed in front of me my whole childhood. So he couldn't say, don't do this ever, obviously. So I knew the day would come when it was going to be like, okay, let's smoke together. And I assumed it would be 15 or 16. And I was right. But he said, now I'll smoke weed with you. I don't want you smoking weed out there because of the law. Not because I think you're going to do something stupid, but because you could get in trouble.
Right.
But he did say, I don't want you drinking.
Oh,
like, I'll do this with you, but I don't want you drinking, because he goes, every bad thing that ever happened to anyone I knew growing up was
totally
because
true.
They were drunk.
Yeah, totally true.
And then I proceeded to get super drunk for the rest of my high school.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my parents strictly forbid everything.
Yeah.
So I just would do anything.
So neither approach works.
Yeah, neither.
Hey, Sean.
Yeah.
Are you looking to confirm that you have a great-great-grandma who immigrated from Spain, or the family lore that you're 100% Sicilian?
Yes.
I have bad news for you. You're not.
I don't think so. But I actually found out I'm not, thanks to Ancestry DNA.
Oh, that's great. What happened?
It gives you so much more than just the places you're from.
Your ancestry DNA must have been so boring. It's like,
I'm not even kidding. I did the thing they asked me to do. I got back just a fucking potato.
You got back a potato? With a name of a town in Ireland on it.
It's like Limerick.
I found out a new one. I used ancestry DNA. And yeah. Turns out, are you ready for this one?
Yes.
My grandmother, Helen McCullough, maiden name Nastis. Her brother, Nick Nastis, who changed his name to Nick Masters to be more Americanized, was the guitarist who wrote the lick for Rock Around the Clock.
Whoa.
Yeah, really? He was in Bill Haley in the Comets.
Wait, Nasty Nick?
Nasty Nick! That's my great uncle.
Wow, ancestry DNA is so great.
I know.
You can even trace your ancestors' journeys over time, following how and why your family moved from place to place.
Only Ancestry can tell such a rich story with unique features that give a more complete picture about a person, like events that shaped them, how they made a living, and what they excelled in.
Save big on Ancestry DNA with special holiday pricing and spark meaningful conversations around the holiday dinner table. Give the gift that can unwrap their history. Head to my URL at ancestry.com/2dads, the number 2 dads, to get your Ancestry DNA kit on sale today. That's ancestry.com/2dads, the number 2 dads.
You have a daughter?
Yeah.
That's it.
I have a daughter, Goldie, who's 6, with an ex. And then I have a current partner, Meg, who has a daughter, Lulu. And they both live with us half the time.
And you have a son.
A son.
I've met your son.
Yeah, you've met my son.
Can I make this really dark, this conversation?
Sure.
So, like, what I think about with my daughter, mm-hmm. and I think, I imagine you have the same thought, is, like, I have to teach this kid eventually, or someone has to teach this kid how to navigate a world in which their sexual partners are the sexual, you know, part of the gendered binary that does or doesn't exist, that does the sexual assault stuff most of the time.
Uh-huh.
And you have a kid who is of the gender binary part, where it does or doesn't exist, that is, like,
muscles one.
Yeah.
And we have the no muscles one.
I'm basically, like, I think to myself, I'm going to have to teach this, like, the father of daughters have to teach their kid, or the parents of daughters have to teach their kid how to avoid sexual assault, and the parents of sons have to teach their kids how to not be sexual assaulters.
I know. It's.
Do you think about that?
Oh, I think about, like, I mean, like, how early I can actually talk to him about that, or, like, I feel like my wife's gonna actually do it. She's a more.
It's really important that you do it too, though.
I know.
He's like, he looks over at Sean. He's like, it's like whatever for me.
Yeah. So my wife's saying it, I shouldn't be doing an air jerk off motion. No, but, like, yes, I should do that. I assume that I'm going to mature into someone who can adequately explain.
You're just hoping to become an adult by the time he becomes an adult.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, you can go second. You can go after her.
And you just go, yup. And you just leave.
Oh, truer words have never been spoken.
Yeah. Okay, be your hype. Just be your hype man.
I mean, by the way, I don't want to oversimplify. Obviously, women do sexual assault too, and everybody does sexual assault. But if you're looking at numbers, if you're crunching the numbers, and as a Jew, that's what I do. And do you think about that too? Like,
the weird thing is, and maybe this was happening and we just didn't know because we used to be called just boys. And like in the 90s,
right.
When we were boys, I don't remember that subject coming up like it does now. And I don't know if they were doing it with the girls and we didn't hear about it, or if that wasn't a conversation like it is now.
At Oakland Public Schools, we had a game in elementary school called Booty Grab. And we would run around the playground and grab girls' booties. And
oh, I thought it was your way to trick people into grabbing your booty.
No, yeah, I put whipped cream, I put a real nice thong on, and I would just switch around the playground.
Guys, let's play booty grab.
And it was just a game everybody played. It would grab these girls' asses. And I'm talking, this is second grade.
Yeah.
And I remember really clearly, there was a stop down of the thing, and they had like a squad, somebody they'd hired come in.
A booty squad.
An anti-booty squad.
Yeah, an anti-booty squad.
And they came in and they like really talked to us about like, this isn't cool, don't do it. But then again, I grew up in Oakland, so things were a little bit more maybe progressive in the school system, but I remember that very clearly, them coming in and saying, don't do this, you don't do this, you have to get permission to ever touch someone.
Wow,
blah, blah,
that's
blah.
Fascinating.
I remember that really clearly.
We never had anything like that.
No, well, I went to a Catholic school, so like boys will be boys, but...
but you're allowed to grab the booty,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you they encouraged it. There was a whole class, but as long as you got married right after. But we...
soon as you grabbed a booty.
No, I remember...
That's the Catholic marriage ceremony, right?
No, but I very much remember there was a kid who was like 2 years older than us, my grade, and he sexually assaulted like someone, and then he was like hitting on my friend, and I was like, oh, well, just so you know, this is what I heard about him.
Mm-hmm.
And then she told him that I told him that, and then I was working at Eckerd, and he like walked into the Eckerd Drugs and took me by the neck, and I was like, oh, this is why you don't speak up about things. You start getting choked out
also,
at work.
Also, this dude definitely did it.
Yes, I know. I mean, like, yeah, you don't go to someone's work. And
I have another
memory. Answer your question. To answer your question, yes, I've thought about it. I have noticed, and let's. This is a little bit positive for this episode. I have been. It's. I like the direction we're going in.
Totally.
As a culture, yeah. Like I feel like there's a lot of difference now in terms of we're already doing the work of raising better boys. I think in general, there's whole swaths of people that are not getting the memo, but I think a lot of it's much more in the conversation. It's much more open. You know, it's called out right away. You know. In a way that probably wasn't before. I mean, this thank you, Ronan Farrow. Like, I think that's going to go.
Thank Ronan Farrow.
No, it has been really great. And, like, raising a boy, like, we always joke about Nolan being, like a Wells for Boys boy. Like, you know, the SNL sketch, Wells for Boys. It's just like it's made by Fisher Price, and it's just for boys who just stare down Wells. That's what we just think. Nolan is just like the sweetest boy in the whole world. But then I keep thinking that like in middle America, they're not raising their kids like we're raising Nolan. And what's going to happen is there's going to be a civil war, and we're going to lose our sweet boys.
You're not going to lose your sweet boys. They're going to be tossed into a well. Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
They're just going to push them over.
They're already going to be there. I mean, to be honest, I don't envy. I'm not having another kid. We're one and done. And I can tell you the story of why. It's kind of a sweet story. But I don't envy the idea of raising. I really wanted a boy before when I was like, thinking of it.
Mm-hmm.
Firstborn son stuff, all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like a much bigger challenge.
I wanted a girl so bad because I feel like girls like the dad more. And my marriage is nothing. If it's anything, it's a competition.
Sure. It's an air jerk off competition,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, but like, I did really want a girl. And like, when we had Nolan, I remember my mom is just like, just such a misogynist. Like, if you're listening, Mom, love you, but you hate women. Again, I've said it to your face. But when we said, or when we got like the results that it was going to be a boy, she goes, thank God.
Oh my God. That's old school right there.
Yeah,
that's
it
classic.
Sucked. I was like, man, now I... No,
that's
I,
like medieval.
Yeah,
that's super.
It blew. Yeah, it was not fun.
Wow.
She's like, thank God I can rip up this Greyhound ticket to the river. Yeah, I think you're right. I think things are getting better.
What's the sweet story?
Oh, well, basically, the reason we're not having another kid is that,
your kid ripped your dick off and dropped it like a mic.
It's really sweet, right?
Yeah.
And she was like, uncut, and then looked at the camera and walked off. We Natasha and I attempted to have kids. What do they call it? Regular style and not doggy.
Yeah,
right.
And it was a fail. It's just nothing was happening for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started going to fertility clinics. And I mean, have you either of you done that? It's
no,
so
no.
expensive.
I go there to just do shots
of cum.
Yeah.
You just down shots of cum. That's hot. You might have had some of mine.
Yeah,
to be honest,
probably
we're closer than we thought.
Yeah.
It's so expensive, and it's so brutal on the woman. It's just like she's fucking pumping hormones into her body. She's gaining weight. She's like, I'm having to like jab these needles into her ass every night. She's bleeding. Her whole ass is black and blue. It's
Jesus.
Like, it's really brutal.
But not
expensive.
When does this get sweet?
I'll tell you. Well, because it's always darkest before the dawn. And
do you guys have 22 minutes?
And it was just not working, too. It was $8,000 a round. Wow. And it's not working. And it just isn't happening. And it's like depleting my bank account. And the doctor, I remember, Natasha had frozen her eggs before she met me. She'd frozen like 8 eggs before she met me. And we kept just being like, kept attempting these IVF rounds. And the doctor kept saying, don't do it. And finally, he like talked to me about it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you got to think of those frozen eggs as like your savings account. But the IVF is like, that's your checking account. Those will always be there, but the checking account, you're and I go, can you not use a savings bank account related analogy?
But that guy's not an anti-Semite, is
No, I'm also like, you are literally depleting. You are depleting my real account.
Yeah.
And finally, we gave up. We did it, gave up. And finally, we unthawed.
God's rejection is God's protection.
Is that a condom ad?
No, that's a.
So we unfroze. What is that though?
God, I've heard it in AA, but I don't know.
God's rejection. I've never heard that in AA.
Yeah, like if you don't get something, it's because it wasn't going
to
be good
I
for
like
you.
Like that. By the way, you don't go to AA, right?
No.
AA is the greatest place for pithy but meaningful slogans of any.
Oh, it's unreal.
It's crazy how
just
many
just when you think
ones.
You've heard them all, there's another one. You're like, Jesus
Christ. Some of
Christ.
Them are very corny, but some yeah. of them I'm like, I haven't been to a meeting in 6 years. I still like use the wisdom of these little pithy slogans. There are really some deep stuff in there. Anyway, yeah. That's neither here nor there. We unfroze the 8 eggs. At the end of that, we had 4 left. 8 of them died.
Mm-hmm.
And we tested them. For you know problems, and at the end of the testing, 2 of them were left, and we implanted 1 of them, and it died, and we were down wow. to 1 egg, and we were like kind of thinking, and the doctor was saying,
"How crazy is the implanting procedure?"
It's like outpatient surgical thing.
Okay,
like you know, it's a
bad
day.
She walks out.
Yeah, she walks out, yeah. But it's a bad day, and. We were kind of like, they were saying this probably isn't going to happen. Like they're mm-hmm. saying, you know, the odds aren't good. They're like 40% or something with each one, with one. And if you only have one, you're kind of like, it's anyway, the last one, that's our kid.
Kaboom.
Amazing.
Kaboom.
That's nice. That is sweet.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we think about it all the time. Like when we look at her or when it's difficult or when we're like anything, it's always like she almost didn't enter our lives. Like we almost didn't have this. And it makes it like just having that story kind of makes the thing worth it.
You would have just had to raise Brent Weinbach for the rest of your life.
I'm still doing that. It's just sweeter to think about that than to think about that one time I just caught a really good nut. You know? If I hadn't had that.
Have you ever jerked off and been like, that would have been a kid?
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I've had some like real like I'm talking like egg yolk nuts.
Oh,
gross.
No, dude. That sounds gross, dude. But no,
it is gross.
It sounds gross. It sounds it, but it's really great.
It's also so scientifically inaccurate. It's the opposite yeah. of an egg yolk.
It is the opposite of an egg yolk, but like you should see it.
So you're saying, oh, wait, let's see, because it's a little gross. Let me just see if I understand what you're saying. You're saying you're jerking off. You start to nut. It comes out kind of clear. Yeah. Then all of a sudden,
Cadbury.
Just
yeah. And then just I'm not like just your flop.
Your yeah, big dick hole just just gapes out.
Yeah.
Boom out.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Crazy.
And if it hits linoleum, you can hear it. Yeah.
Also, it doesn't work. I don't think it works like that either.
Do you remember ever hearing something before you like really understood everything about like sex is like still pretty new and stuff like that, like in high school?
I've heard some weird things. I remember, what did I hear? I remember somebody in elementary school used to say that right when people started talking about condoms because of the AIDS crisis, you know, they would say.
Isn't that funny? We grew up in California. It was a much bigger, I think,
totally.
Conversation.
And condoms were everywhere.
Yeah.
And people would say, like the older, more mature kids would be like, I'm wearing one right now. At school. And it's like, no. At the time, I was so impressed. I was like, that's awesome. But now I'm like, oh, no. Also, there was another girl, I remember in junior high, that we were like, oh, yeah. The whole rumor about her was that she had slept with somebody for 2 hits of acid. And I was like, I can't believe it. Wow. And then you get older enough to re-examine it, and you go, oh, they were just... That didn't happen. They were just like slut shaming this random girl.
Yeah.
Maybe she did sleep with him. Maybe she didn't. It was just like a, you know, juvenile character assassination for no reason at all.
Yeah. I remember those rumors and being like, that definitely didn't happen, but not being
you knew
like,
it at the time. I never was able to process.
Well, I wouldn't, but I also feel bad because I wouldn't speak up and be like, that's bullshit. I'd be like, fucking sounds like classic Becky or whatever.
But yeah. I was there in seventh grade when this girl blew two kids on the class trip. Yeah, I was
in
two rows
seventh
in front of
grade?
Them. She blew both of them on the way back from Hershey Park.
That's crazy.
I was there just listening to like the Can't Hardly Wait soundtrack.
Well, that actually tracks directly with the fact that they say women are genetically more predisposed to just loving chocolate than men. So she needed a
that's
release.
Not her fault.
Yeah,
that is
and
not
especially
because
like after we left Hershey Park, we also got oysters. So like, it was like double hornet. Yeah.
And eel.
Yeah, that must have felt bad for you though, huh?
Oh,
you're
yeah,
like, what about a car?
Two rows up. Yeah.
Right over here. I once jerked off on a short bus. Most of my strangest sexual tales are tales of where I masturbated.
Yeah.
And I was on the short.
Well, hopefully that is where most of your,
where,
you know what I mean?
Where the strange happens. Yeah. 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 Yeah, yeah. I was on the short bus. I was a member of the short bus community.
Mm-hmm.
And a real one, not like it would happen to be short. It was like me and a bunch of like developmentally disabled kids.
Right.
And they dropped everybody off. And I think everybody, there might've been one person in the back. It might've been an O'Connor back there, two rows behind. And I masturbated on the short bus. I was proud of that.
Was it good?
It wasn't like tawdry and hot. I was just like a teenager and couldn't help myself.
Right.
I'll tell you another one. Crazy one. This is a real...
Did my face look like, you got another one, don't you? Yeah.
I was hooking up with a girl in the parking lot of my high school, and my grandma came to pick me up, and we were like not done, and so I got in the car with my grandma. I put my jacket over my crotch, and I masturbated myself to completion with my grandma driving.
Wow!
And I don't think she knew.
In the front or the back seat?
Front seat.
Wait, front seat.
Yeah. Front seat. And jerked off into your jacket.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. Yeah,
Can I just say
the jacket? You made a mess.
Can I just say I did it once? I wasn't going to tell this story because I was still too ashamed, but and then yours was worse. Mine is back seat with the parents.
Oh, sure.
And I was
your parents?
Yeah.
No, my parents.
Your parents? Yeah.
No, the Fockers.
No, just some parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were videotaping, right?
Yeah.
No,
I thought, and to this day, I remember firmly thinking I got away with it.
I'm sure you did. I mean, I also got a hand job once. Same jacket trick that I learned from grandma.
Same grandma.
I got a hand job. Yeah, from my grandma. No, from a girl in group therapy, group rehab, family group. Like Thursday night was family group, and everybody would sit in a huge circle.
Right.
And this girl was sitting next to me. I don't know how he didn't get caught, but it wasn't a completion. It was like for the act. It was for the forbiddenness of the act.
Yeah.
But it was definitely like, it felt pretty intense.
That's crazy. That's not what that's for, that group.
Or is it?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Look
right?
at you now. You're
Look
great.
At me
you
now.
Are all rehabbed.
Yeah. I mean, up until I started working in writer's rooms, I pretty much jerked off at every job I ever had.
Oh, sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, but now I just like it's.
But now that I'm in that world, I have to say on this podcast that I've never done it.
Exactly.
I speaking of parenting, so the rehab that I went to, I went to a bunch of rehabs, but the last rehab I went to, I happened to, and I used to be in that rehab with my mother who was deaf, and there'd be an interpreter there interpreting for me, and I was such a fucking scumbag. I would be always like making fun of the interpreter if he got something. I was such a shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I got sober eventually, and years went by, and it was Thursday night, Walnut Creek, Kaiser CDRP, Chemical Dependency Recovery Program. Mm-hmm. And years went by, I got my shit together. You haven't read my book, you have. I became a sign language interpreter. That's what I did up until I became a full-time comic. I was a sign language interpreter. And I was a freelance interpreter, which meant that I would get calls. I would go all over the place. You know, I'd go to doctor's appointments and job interviews and whatever. And one day I got a call to come to the Thursday night family group at CDRP Walnut Creek, the group that I used to be a patient at. And I went. And the thing about being an interpreter is that you're like a silent, you're totally like this silent observer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, couldn't have been a more spiritually powerful experience role. Like if I'd come in there as like the comedian who made good, or it would have been totally about me. But being an interpreter was like, I was just sitting there passively experiencing this thing that I used to be a participant in. And I realized with like this thundering clarity that like it was all the parents' fault. Like it was totally the parents. Like, every parent, I was like, oh my God, you're the fucking problem. Mm-hmm. It is you that is your kid definitely is out of control and a drug addict. But, like, it was so obvious as an adult to go back and just go, the disease, the tumor is in the parent. The sickness is in the kid, but the disease rests in the parents. And so, hopefully we don't bring that kind of shit.
I know. It's so hard because, like, everything I do, I'm like, oh, man, is he going to remember that? Is that, like, did that leave an imprint on his brain? Like, me, like, looking at my phone instead of, like, paying attention to him, like,
you do
holding
that?
A fake banana.
We don't even know what the phone thing is going to be like
I know. It's scary.
Yeah.
I watched a movie from 2000 this morning. You Can Count on Me. Have you ever seen that? No. Mark Ruffalo and Laura Linney. It's Mm-mm. awesome. But anyway, it takes place. It's a 2000, and, like, there's no cell phones, and there's no internet, and it's.
I also watched the movie with no cell phone or internet last night.
Which one?
Ishtar.
Oh yeah,
that's supposed to be bad.
It's amazing.
I watched a great movie with no cell phone, and no internet as well last night.
What?
Coal Miner's Daughter.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Definitely no.
No.
Yeah.
Even if they had the technology,
but I had
she wouldn't have been able to afford it. What was your
But I was gonna say there was just a scene where she was talking on a landline, and then she hangs up the phone, and then she sits on a bed and thinks about the conversation she just had for like a few seconds. That's the shot, right? And I just had an overwhelming sense of sadness that, like, that's just not really a thing anymore. That you can't just, like,
hang up.
You can't hang up, and then you're just in your house by yourself with no, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to, like, distract you. It's just, you know. And I was just like, fuck, I can't believe I grew up with that, and now it's gone.
Well, I don't know if that's the blessing or the curse of our specific generation, is that we're the ones that didn't have it and now have it.
We didn't have it for so long that we, like, we're almost adults before. That's
right.
I mean, I'm a little younger than you. So,
like, did you have it your whole life?
I had it. I got it in fifth grade, so I was 10.
Oh, no, yeah. I was like when I got college when I got a cell phone.
How old are you?
I was in high school.
I just turned 40.
Oh, me too. Yeah. I got one much earlier than that, but not much earlier, 16 years old, 17 years old,
that. Yeah, but you grew up in Oakland.
That's right. We had to sell crack. It was a brick phone.
It's a big day for you.
Yeah. I had a pager before that and a Gat. But now I have a latte. But it maybe is more melancholy for you and me and you too. I think fifth grade that you're still like
I have memories. I have 5 years of memories without having something completely taking over my entire life.
Like these kids, I did a thing on my Comedy Central show, May It Rest in Peace. It was called May It Rest in Peace, and it was about murdering people and murdering people we didn't consider human. So we said it. At any rate, where we interviewed, it was about how the internet's changing our brain. We did a field piece where we interviewed a group of kids that were no technology and a group of kids that were regular, you know, on the internet all the time. And I went into it knowing what the segment was going to be, you know, and I walked out going, oh, I will not be keeping cell phones from my kid. All of the kids that were anti-technology were like these like socially awkward trolls. They were just like, I love theater. This is a character that I'm working on. Stephen Sondheim is my hero.
They're flipping through records. They're like, oh.
And all the technology kids were like sweet and engaged and funny. And I don't want to overstate.
That's cool.
But so there was some hope. Fullness.
God, there's nothing worse than an 8-year-old that's like, neutral milk hotel.
Yeah. I mean, that is like my big thing as a parent is I just don't want to ever try to force my kid into anything I like.
Right.
Because then he'll wind up resenting it and hating it for like his entire life. And
Is that true? I just heard a statistic that most kids listen to the music
that their parents. I do.
I do too. Well, yeah, my mom's deaf, so I listen to silence and silent scream. But no, but my like the Beatles and my introduction to music was the Beatles from my stepfather. Mm-hmm. He listens to classical and I don't listen to that, but.
But the Beatles, my parents listened to the Beatles and like Beach Boys, and I resented them my whole life. And then like as
you
I
had
got
to come
older,
back around.
Yeah, I came back around and I was like, oh, this is pretty good.
That's how I am with health food. My mother was like, by the way, I just want to call bullshit on myself going like, that's me too. It's like my mother's deaf, has never listened to music in her life. My stepfather primarily only listens to classical music. He's a classical pianist. I hate classical music. Basically, I like the Beatles. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
It just seems like something a parent would like.
Yeah.
But
we'll edit out that correction. I like your bullshit answer better.
Oh, great.
We got to wrap up. You got to go. Okay. So let's play our game. You want to play our game?
Yes. The holidays are just around the corner. How's your holiday shopping going, Julian?
We went once already. It's going good, but it could always be going better.
Oh, because I am struggling. I just want to find the perfect gift for someone I love.
Doesn't matter who.
Just someone
doesn't matter
I love.
Who it is, as long as you love them.
I love my wife so much. And I love my wife so much, and I just want to find her the perfect gift, and it's hard. Like, how do you do that?
Well, I got an idea for you. For a really special gift for the special wife in your life, you've got to check out the Skylight Frame. Skylight Frame is a photo frame you can update instantly by email from anywhere.
What?
Yeah. It sets up effortlessly in under 60 seconds. Just plug it in, use the touch screen to connect to your wireless network, and enjoy. Sending photos to Skylight is effortless. Everyone in the family can just email them to your personal Skylight email address, and they'll pop up in seconds.
So, what?
Yeah, so you put a frame in your house, and then I can email you pictures, and they show up in the frame.
So you can send me pictures of JonBenet Ramsey, and they show up in the frame.
That's filtered, actually. But yeah, Skylight Frame has a gorgeous 10-inch touchscreen. You can swipe through photos with your finger and even tap to thank the person who sent you a photo.
Thank you, Frame.
It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed. If you don't love your Skylight, they'll offer you a full refund. Now, this includes if people send you pictures from your family of people that maybe aren't that good looking. And you're just like, you know what? I'm sick of all these ugly people in my frame. They'll give you your money back.
Wow.
Yeah. That's not even Skylight's fault. You can preload it with your favorite photos for a personalized gift, import pictures of you and your significant other, spouse, grandparent, etc., that they didn't even know you had.
But so wait, Julian, do you have the Skylight Frame?
I don't have it. I sent it to my dad, and it's fun to think that I can email him in the middle of the night and change the picture that he's going to wake up to.
He's going to be like, oh, no.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Weird.
Was there some sort of time travel thing that happened that made Kareem Abdul-Jabbar my son?
So now, as a special holiday offer, you can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com and enter code DADS. That's right. You get 10 bucks off your purchase of a Skylight Frame. Just go to skylightframe.com and enter code DADS. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, promo code DADS.
Wow.
All right, so today I just informed Sean that I have prepared a rad dad, bad dad, sad dad, Chad dad.
What's game. Chad dad?
Chad dad's like a Chad dad.
Like, you,
so
like
the game
bro-y,
is
a bro. Okay.
The game is that I will read you a story from the news that involves.
There's also
a father.
Gad dad, which it rarely is.
That's
but
just Josh Gad, right?
That's Josh Gad's dad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's also named Chad, so it's really confusing.
Wait, is Josh Gad not a dad?
Not a dad.
But you know what else? By the way, I have coined the term for Josh Gad superfans.
What?
And I want this to spread. Okay. Gadflies.
Oh, that's really good.
That's
right?
Pretty good.
I
yeah.
mean, it's such a specific thing that I don't know if it will spread, but
I bet there's a lot of parallel thinking out there, people yeah. doing that bit.
What okay. if I come back in a year and I'm like, you know who stole my gadfly joke?
Everybody. Okay. I'm going to read you a news story. And you have to say if it's a rad dad thing to do, a bad dad thing to do, et okay. cetera,
got it.
And why.
Oh, okay. And it's all opinion. Like,
oh, you don't want me to accurately identify
no,
that it was
you
a
do not
Chad
have to
dad?
Do that.
Okay.
Dr. Drew comes in and we do it for real.
Yeah, he tells you what the answer is?
Yeah. Oh, I got to put my glasses on. Hold on.
Speaking of rad dad. Wait, what are reading glasses? Are those rad dad? No, that's just dad.
I don't know. That's just dad, man. Sad dad. I get like sad dad.
Sad dad.
Okay.
Ooh, but can we add my dad in?
Yeah. What's your dad?
Dead dad.
Dead dad. Okay. We can do
anybody.
Although that's
kind
of given away in the story. Okay. So this is in Virginia.
No, my dad is alive, but he's only talked to me 5 times in my entire life.
So you're dead to him.
Kind of, but that makes it sound like he was an absentee father, which he was, mm-hmm. but I lived with him my whole life. He just never talked to me.
So is... he's a tad dad. He was just there a tad bit.
Yeah.
What a rosy view. Not bad dad, tad dad.
Okay, this happened in Virginia. Air Force
bad dad.
Air Force Captain Haikili Holland. He's excited and overwhelmed because there's a 38-second internet clip that has now over 4.2 million views and more than 54,000 shares. It has gone viral. His daughter Mackenzie is a cheerleader in the high school. She taught him her routine, and his job was to do it in the crowd to get the crowd going. And somebody filmed him doing the routine, and he does the routine as good or better than the girls out on the field. And it went viral. And I'm wondering if your dad got filmed doing the cheer from the thing, or like, what do you think of that level of involvement?
I think it's a bad dad, only because that sucks. Like
it's corny.
Yeah, it just sucks because he's in that like the Air Force, and you know he's just like, this is ridiculous. I'm doing cheerleading, but like I'm gonna throw my whole life into it. Yeah. Like I hate this.
His
guy.
Arm pumps were insane, but that's from the military.
If you're saying what would it be like if my dad did that?
Well, I'm just saying, what do you think that's like cool to do as a
dad? Even though he's dead, that would be very scary. First of all,
yeah.
Also, when he was alive, he was a deaf Hasidic Jew. To sort of see him doing cheers.
Oh man, a tear would have gone down your cheek.
It would have been. You know what? I like to think that he's probably doing cheers in heaven right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, cheers in heaven.
That's Eric Clapton song about watching a great sitcom in heaven. Yeah, yeah. okay, so I actually disagree with you. Here's why. I think like most
people. So what
people,
kind of dad is it?
I think he's rad.
A rad dad, okay.
Because I think that most people live their life not like us. Not on stage, not doing creative stuff, kind of buttoned up, especially an Air Force guy, probably very buttoned up. So these displays of like, I'm going to get silly, even though they are cringy. Yeah. There's no question that they're cringy. I kind of think like, you know what? It's kind of cool if somebody's out there putting themselves out there. A display of love, as buffoonish as it was.
Yeah. See, I guess I could agree with Moshe, but I do almost feel like I can't relate to it at all based on my dad.
Yeah, it's like, so foreign.
Like, I liked the movie Eighth Grade, but it completely lost me at the end when the dad was talking to, like, Elsie Fisher's character, because I was just like, my dad never talked to me. Like,
it'd be kind of cool, though, actually, if your dad was like the most emotionally distant, cold stone of a man, talked to you 5 times, and then for some reason at a like school rally, he was just doing straight up a cheer routine. You'd be like, I can't even process it. I don't even feel closer to you. Yeah. I don't. What is this?
This just shows me that you could have been doing some more. I think he's a Chad dad, actually, okay. Because I think that guys like that can't resist spirit in that way. Sure. And like group think and like whatever. Yeah. So he's just like, I'm gonna do the thing too. Like
I'm with you on that. You know? I hear that.
Yeah. And you watched the video.
I did watch the video.
And was he good at it?
It's funny because he was all right. But the thing is, you don't see the actual thing, so it's hard to compare it. But what's funny is there are some arm pumps. And his arm pumps are so intense and precise, and you're like, oh, that's literally from like learning.
Right.
He like loves this. It's like
from saluting the Nazi flag.
Yeah, exactly. In secret. Yeah.
He did name his daughter Mackenzie, so I'm gonna say bad dad. I thought about it a little bit.
What are you talking about? Papa John Phillips named his daughter Mackenzie, and he was a great dad. Do you know?
Yeah,
what
I know.
Happened?
No, okay. I know what happened.
Okay, so. Let's do one. Oh, so a couple of gender reveal parties recently have made the news. One of them was
the plane crash
was most recent. That was a
These
dad
are like
who,
a big story now, and like people are really into them. And they never used to exist, and also the wokerati is like really upset by them. Like they're really touching a nerve on every level of society.
Well, it's only exists now because people like chase likes and attention, and they hope that I have a few cousins who have done gender reveals, and like it just sucks. Like it sucks so hard watching them post it on Facebook and then seeing like everyone from our lives just being like, oh my God, you're so creative.
I'm getting from you that you generally dislike when non-professional entertainers try to do anything creative.
Pretty much. Okay. Except at this... other side of the coin, I genuinely love like outsider art.
Sure, sure.
So like it, I don't like when like
white people.
Yeah, white people do sure. things. Like I really hate white. I really hate when white people try stuff.
Fresh take. Okay.
But
what do you
think?
So there were gender. Well, there's the. It was a crop duster plane. The dad flew the plane. Crashed the plane.
Just like a
and
dad
died?
Corrupt
it. Huh? He died?
No one. There was a minor injury.
Okay.
But the plane suffered damage.
Sure.
But it's funny that it was a crop duster. He dropped 350 gallons of pink water and then the plane crashed.
Wow. I've made a couple ladies drop 350 gallons of pink water, if you know what I mean. Does that make sense?
I don't think you understand how sex works.
I don't think you understand aeronautics and piloting.
So that one's like harmless, I think. Obviously, if you own a crop dusting plane, you're not... I think that's...
If you're in the demographic that does gender reveals and you own a crop dusting plane...
No. I say it's sad, Dad. I say it's sad, Dad, because I don't think... any like red-blooded farming father wants to do that, and he was pressured into doing that by his family. I think, like, because I don't think...
Well, yeah, it was his wife's idea.
It was his wife's idea, and he was like, fine, I'll do it, and then the plane crashed.
Yeah, I'll do it. Whatever for our daughter, Kaylin.
What was the other one? Was there another one?
Oh, man. So this one was they tried to build this little apparatus where it was like they shoved a pipe in the ground and then they poured pink gunpowder in it.
Mm-hmm.
Then they put a wood plank on top of it and then pink dust on or like sand or whatever on top of that and then covered it all with like a bucket or something, right? And then when they lit the fuse, they thought it would go and there would be like a big pink cloud. But what they had built was a textbook pipe bomb.
Oh my God.
And one a piece of the pipe, metal pipe, broke off. And the whole family, they were smart enough to at least do this. The whole family was 50 feet away at least.
Yeah.
They were like, get away from this thing. But it's not a pipe bomb, but get away. And they get away. So 50 feet away, a metal piece flew out of this pipe bomb and hit the mother-in-law in the head, kills her instantly.
Rad dad. Radical dadical. Yeah. This is the greatest.
My favorite
plot.
Detail of the whole story is that favorite. That's a fucked up way to put it. The best.
The one that got you the hardest.
Yeah. The erection showed up.
Mm-hmm.
The piece that hit her in the head and killed her flew another 500 feet.
Wow.
You know what's crazy about these kinds of stories is that we read about them and then we're like, whoa, but then they go on living.
Yeah.
Like that family is a family forever now. Just like you killed mother-in-law.
Yeah.
And then that kid is going to get born and hear the story.
I know. That's the worst part. I thought about it. You know what made me really mad is, and it's funny that I just recreated a situation that made me furious. I was listening to morning radio dropping Goldie off at school when this story hit, and the morning zoo people were making the worst, cheapest jokes at this thing, and then one of them was like
mother-in-law jokes.
Yeah, there were mother-in-law jokes, and then they were also like, and you know what sucks is like this kid is gonna be like, where's grandma? And then they went after that angle so hard about this kid and making fun of the kid for how much the kid's life was gonna suck, and I'm like, fucking morning zoo dudes are the worst people.
Well, how have none of them been canceled?
They're literally the most racist.
We're
misogynist,
in the middle of the cancel culture renaissance right now, and for some reason, the morning zoo guys are just like way under
because
the
they
radar.
Always have a woman on their show that's like guys in there.
That's what predators need.
Yeah, I don't think they're awake for the times when like people get canceled. Yeah.
I actually have a theory about cancellation, which is that it's only hypocrisy. Like, no one ever complained about the roast battle on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
And that's the most offensive thing ever. I mean,
That's what it is.
But that's what it is. There's no
it's
oxygen.
When you claim to be
there's
something.
There's no oxygen there, yes. Right. It's when you're like claiming to be something that you're not. That's what really gets people horny.
Right.
That's what people want.
I think that's why people were so mad about Bill Cosby raping all those ladies, is because he wasn't supposed to be.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. No, but there was something about the hypocrisy that made the story
definitely
not die, I guess.
Exactly. But to go back to the game of this, mm-hmm. Two-prong answer. Sad dad for the pilot.
Mm-hmm. Like, you agree, sad dad.
He's sad dad because
that guy didn't want to do
that. I think crop duster planes are expensive. And
yeah.
That's probably sad.
And probably super important to your job.
But yeah, I'm going to go with Motion and say fucking rad dad for the radio pipe
literally
bomb.
For murking his mother-in-law during the gender reveal.
I mean, like...
Brop.
Yeah, his wife is never going to be allowed to go in the basement where all the plans are on the wall for how he was going to...
Totally. I mean, do they just keep on being married? Like, what happens
next? I don't
know.
Someone should do a follow-up on
that. Someone should do a TV show.
Yes.
Where you take famous stories of the past and just go, what the fuck happened next?
Yeah. But don't pay the people that it happened to.
No, exploit them more.
I think I had one more.
Yeah, let's...
I have one more, and then we really gotta stop, because this is like the longest episode ever. So Vince Rosmierek first started volunteering as the official manager of his community's roadside message board 6 years ago. So it looks like a church sign, you know what I mean, where you replace the letters all the time.
Okay.
So instead of putting information about the community or like news,
he does fun little things.
He does dad jokes.
Okay.
And I am reading this one because these jokes are pretty fucking dad. All right, ready? We got... coming soon, Star Wars 12, Luke needs a walker.
Wow. Sean's out.
For sure. This guy's
creative. Church sign. Here we go. Oh, it's in Indian Hills. I don't know where this is. Okay. Disbarred lawyer finds new work as sous chef.
Mm. That doesn't make sense. It only is a pun wrapped up in a nonsense joke.
We're not done.
Okay.
Break-in at the Apple store. Police looking for eyewitnesses.
Oh, man.
You like these.
Not done.
You like these, though.
What do you call a hippie's wife?
What?
Mrs. Hippie.
That's actually just a riff on a racist joke.
Is it?
Yeah.
I never heard it before. Mississippi?
I'm not going to do the joke, but...
Okay. Dear Diet Coke, I
Google
feel like
Flintstones racist joke, and I think you'll...
Oh, no, that one's dumb. A few puns make me numb, but math puns make me number. Oh my god!
What?
Anyway,
all right. So I think.
What do you think of this guy? So the town loves it.
There's not an option for a dad who should kill himself. I want to vote for that one.
I got an idea. I think that guy should repair his crop duster. Take the pipe bomb from the other gender reveal, drive over Indian Hills, and just drop it.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
House.
I have a new theory. I have a first timer for this one.
Yeah.
I think this is Josh Gad's dad. I think this is Gad dad.
I mean, it is as funny as Josh Gad.
It explains Josh Gad. That's it for us.
Yeah, Moshe, do you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah. When is this coming out?
In 2 weeks,
I will be at the... first and foremost, I would like to plug my podcast, The Endless Honeymoon Podcast, that I do with Natasha Leggero, and we do live relationship calls and secrets. We have people calling with their deepest, darkest secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And the two of us will be going to the Portland Helium the weekend before Christmas, and we're doing a live episode of The Honeymoon Podcast. And also, we're going to the San Francisco Sketch Fest, and also, I'm going at the end of January to the D.C., Washington, D.C. Improv that final weekend in January. So
that's a good one.
SF, Portland, or Washington, D.C.
That's a good one. Quick question about the podcast. Have you gotten a phone call yet where you both went like, we can't do this?
Oh, where we didn't air it?
Right, where you were just like overwhelmed by it.
Definitely been overwhelmed by it,
okay.
For sure.
All right. That's all I want to know. Yeah. So if you're, go listen to it. And I'm sure it's
definitely
great. Because people, I mean, I bet you hear
not
some
only
crazy
do we get
shit.
Advice requests, which can be very difficult and perplexing, but also we have the secrets hotline where people leave their deep, dark secrets.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's really fun.
You're like,
and
do
funny.
We have to do we have to track this phone call?
Straight up.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's really like bone chilling.
Oh, man. That's like when you are an editor for like Ridiculousness or something, and like you have to look at all the clips and you're like, oh,
yeah. The Facebook people that have to vet all of the videos on Facebook.
Oh, God.
Is this a dad joke?
What?
Bone chilling. Oh, it sounds like when I fucked an Eskimo.
Definitely not. It's a pun though.
It is.
Yeah. But I don't think.
It's a bad joke. Is that what he was asking?
I don't know what I was asking. I just wanted to say something.
Yeah, it was
bad and racist. It's a bad joke. So yeah.
Yes. I might as well plug first away. Weekend of December. I'll be at Charlie Goodnight's in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Is that fun?
Yeah, it's a good club.
Cool.
It's a great club.
I'd like to go
December
there.
December 27 to 29, I'll be at Hilarities in Cleveland. Fun. And
oh, I love that club.
And that's Helium nice club. Philly for New Year's.
Dude, the Cleveland Hilarities, the guy there, the manager there treats you feel for the first time like you are in the mafia.
It's wonderful.
It's crazy.
I love that guy. So
nice. I thought he thought I was someone else. That's how nice he was. thank you so much, Moshe.
Say hi
to Natasha and thank her for letting you come out and do this
tonight. Thank you. I will. Thanks.
All right. Bye, guys. Oh, rate and review us on iTunes. And if you review us and give us 5 stars and ask a question, we'll definitely answer you on the next episode, okay. Which we said last time. And we don't have a question, but we didn't read them.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.